Ladies and gentlemen, it's been said that we don't do enough of the old stuff for the standard. So this next one is for all you original hipsters out there. That's right, put your mittens around your kittens as we bring to you this holiday wish.
Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops listen and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. Well then I am dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
It stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight and every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. Al will be joining us short. Oh, he's back. Okay, what we have here is we've got Al with us. Good evening, Big Al. How you doing?
Doing great, Vito. Good to have you back. And it was a busy week while you were gone.
It certainly was. And sorry, yeah, thank you. I did miss you guys. I had some family stuff to tend to, but everything's okay. And it's good to be back today. And I'll be, by the way, just a quick plug. I'll be sitting in for Hank Jones on Wednesday. Hank is out of town, so I'll be sitting in for his Poly Sports show. He'll have his peeps calling in, do some college football talk, and I'll attempt to do some chat on college basketball as well. I'm sure they'll want to talk about that because Hank does speak about that. So I'll be sitting in for Hank at 5:30 on Wednesday on the Hank Jones Poly Sports show. Talk about the football, college football, the Final Four. It certainly was an interesting weekend this past weekend because a lot of the division championship games or the conference championship games were played, and there was some turmoil in the championship games. Utah trounced USC in the Pac-12, and that took out number 4 USC. They lost handedly to Utah, number 11, 47-24. Georgia easily rolled over LSU to win the SEC championship. And Michigan came out in the second half, and they absolutely dominated Purdue. It was close. It was 14-13 at the half, and then Michigan just poured it on in the second half, and they won 43-22 to win the Big Ten. So number 1 and number 2 is secure, but then number 3, TCU loses to number 10, Kansas State, 31-28 in overtime. That didn't hurt TCU as much as you would have thought. They dropped to number 4 in the poll, which then gives them a bid into the bowl game. They finish in the top 4. But who slides in as a result of USC losing is Ohio State. So Ohio State didn't have to play a conference championship game, but by virtue of both USC and TCU losing, USC moves in, and that means that Alabama is out. So no Alabama this year for the 2022 college championship game. So
which is amazing because Alabama is stuck with Kansas State.
Oh, is that right?
Ohio State snuck in. Georgia is going to trounce them like nobody's business.
Yeah, it looks like Georgia plays Ohio State and Michigan plays TCU in the two games. You know, I'll tell you, I hope Kirby Smart is of Georgia, really takes heed of that Michigan-Ohio State game, because Michigan really shut Ohio State down, and they can't let CJ, what's his name, Barrett? I can't remember the quarterback's name, but they can't let him get the – get on the board, because Georgia should win that game. It should be a Georgia-Michigan college championship, which would be really cool.
Yeah, that's who I'm hoping for, too. Good choice.
Or you could end up again with a Michigan-Ohio State. How about that? It'd be Michigan-Ohio State, too. So that could be interesting. And Ohio State could figure something out against Michigan, but and that's, of course, with Michigan, getting past TCU, which I think they should. I mean, I really do. So
it'll be a great game, but it will be it's no walk in the park, but I think Michigan's got a better program.
I do, too. I do, too. Hello to Bigfoot, our big patriot. Hey, Big's back. Hey. Check out Big's Blogspot, bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great Blogspot. He's in an undisclosed location in Central Virginia. That's per his blog. Nice to see him back. He's got a great Blogspot. If you guys have a chance to check it out on the net. And he actually on Wednesday, November 30th, he did a nice little tribute there, Big, for Christy McVie, who passed away at the age of 79. No cause of death had been reported, but Christy McVie was with Fleetwood Mac. She was a keyboardist, mm-hmm. singer, and songwriter, and apparently she passed away after a brief illness, and they're not saying what exactly it was she passed from. So, and hello to Ducky Northwest, Gulf Dogs, HOV Radio in Sufu, New Mexico. Nice to see you all. PGA wasn't in play this weekend. However, it was the Tiger Woods Heroes Challenge that was played in Albany, Bahamas. And it was a windy 4 days of golf. And the defending champion was Norwegian Victor Hovland. He won the 2021 Heroes Challenge by a shot for Scottie Scheffler. Well, this year, Hovland once again rose to the top. And for the second year in a row, Scottie Scheffler was the bridesmaid. This year, he lost by 2 shots to Victor Hovland. So Victor gets a nice 2-shot victory. He shot 18 under par. Oh, sorry, 16 under par. And that young man, he's learning how to win. He is a really solid player. And when he gets the ball striking and putter going, he is as good as anybody out there. It's just hard to believe he only has three PGA Tour victories, but he's learning how to win. And I think this could be a good year for him. If he likes to play really aggressive, but if he can tone it down a little bit and play a little bit more course management with some courses, he's gonna add to that total and perhaps even a major championship.
Yeah. Well, did you watch any other? Because he darn near blew up on 18.
Yeah. I mean, even the dogs thought it was, you know, they were howling for what the hell he was doing. But yes, he bogeyed 18th hole. He had a 3-shot lead. And thankfully he had a 3-shot lead and he made a hell of a save, didn't he? In order to save bogey. And then win by 2 shots. So that guy, you see him drive that short par 4 on Saturday. Almost damn near hit a hole-in-one on a par 4, 297 yards. It was amazing. So, and Victor also won the 2018 U.S. Amateur. World Cup is still in Qatar, and the U.S. team lost in the round of 16. They lost to the Netherlands 3-1. They got trounced. And frankly, I was surprised that the United States team made it to the round of 16. So that was a good little effort on their part. On Saturday, Argentina beat Australia 2-1 to reach the quarterfinals, and led by Lionel Messi for Argentina. They will play the Netherlands. Yesterday, England beat Senegal 3-0. That was a trouncing to reach the quarterfinals. France played Poland. Poland lost to France 3-1 also, which made it really interesting because England and France now square off in the quarterfinals. And to me, that game is going to be the match of the tournament. I mean, it's only the quarterfinals, but I can't imagine any other match being better than England and France. They're all, you know, it depends on your love of soccer, but it was really cool to see France and England both win, and then now they're going to square off. Japan played Croatia to a 1-1 draw today, and I believe it eliminated Japan, so Japan is out, Croatia's in, and then Brazil pounded the South Koreans 4-1. Tomorrow, Morocco plays Spain, and Portugal plays Switzerland to finish out the quarterfinals and lead it up to the semifinal matches, the final four. So it's going to go to the final eight and then the semifinals, and it should be pretty good, huh?
I never warmed up to soccer or football, so can't say following it real close.
You know, I was at a restaurant on Saturday. And I was happened to be facing the TVs that were in the bar, and they didn't realize that the people that were watching were all Argentine fans. And Argentine scored. You know, I'm watching it, and Argentine scores, and all of a sudden the whole freaking bar erupts, and they're yelling and they're screaming. And of course, the guy, the Mexican guy, I think was announcing, and he was going on, and everybody's going nuts, and it was entertaining. I got to say that I did enjoy it because I love the passion of sports, and these guys went nuts. So you get to watch it in bars and stuff, and you get people's reactions. So speaking of runoffs, tomorrow is the runoff in Georgia, the Senate race between American patriot Herschel Walker and left-wing Marxist Raphael Warnock comes to a head. Georgians can do the right thing, but I think that there'll be enough cheating. I'm sorry, there'll be enough votes that will be found for Warnock to win that race and get 6 years instead of 2 years, and that's pretty sad, but that'll also then give the Democrats the majority in the United States Senate, which means that Schmuck Schumer will continue on as majority leader. So what do you think is going to happen in Georgia?
Warnock, I'm hoping that Herschel Walker wins handedly.
Yeah.
I tend to be a little bit cynical like yourself, and Warnock is a horrible candidate with a horrible resume, but he is the Marxist Democrat choice, and the Georgia is corrupt. Sad to say, but they are corrupt, and they will give it to him one way or another. But then on the other hand, if Herschel Walker does win, does that mean that all of a sudden Georgia is their election machine is not corrupt? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. It really is. I don't think, you know, I think there'll be a lot made of it. Oh, you know, of course, the Democrats will put something out there. Well, they must have cheated, or, you know, how could that happen? And it could happen real easily, you know, if you allow the people to vote in the proper manner, you really don't know who's going to win these races. And generally, you know, the better candidate will. And I don't know how you can tolerate a Raphael Warnock, you know, and his anti-American belief system. And the corruption inside the Democrat Party is just un-freaking believable. I was reading Bigfoot's Place, the Blogspot, over the weekend, and there was a story in there about the there was a story in there about the organization that Stacey Abrams had set up and how they were buying real estate. And they were funneling money in some way, and it was a whole shady deal. Find that article. And I'm reading through that thing, and I go and I find another link, and I get a link to another article that's in that same article, and it's talking about the Meet the Beijing-aligned group that branded a Republican tough on China rhetoric racist. And how the Chinese government has infiltrated the Democrat Party in California. And so it's like it was just one corruption story after another that was all linked together. And I want to say it was, I don't know what day it was that I read. It might have been Wednesday. I'm trying to go through and find that article. But the Stacey Abrams story with the organization that was set up, they have like $11 million in the bank. They're buying this property through another organization who didn't own the property yet, who is going to flip it over to the Abrams nonprofit company, and they were going to sell it at and buy it at a premium. And then as a result of all these shenanigans, which people are going, wait a minute, you know, I don't think it's legal what they're doing. It turns out that this Abrams organization is now laying off employees, and they're paying these people like $23 an hour. I mean, they're making, you know, a huge amount of money. And are they using it for the election process that it was designed to do? No. Just it's incredible. I can't find the story because I have up is about how the communist Chinese government actually funded this House of Representatives race in California. The Republican congresswoman was leading through this whole thing, and then all of a sudden the communist Chinese and their money painted this woman as a racist for calling out China. And the Democrat challenger's name was Jay Chen. And all of a sudden, yeah, she was branded a racist, and it changed the tide of the race. And it turns out that the communist Chinese government was funding this woman's campaign, or this man said Jay Chen. And it's the same organization that helped the Chinese government survey the Uyghur Muslims. And it's a CCP tech company, and it's unbelievable the when you connect the dots how sordid this organization truly is. So I went from reading about, you know, Stacey Abrams and Warnock with this nonprofit. Here we go. Stacey Abrams nonprofit worked to purchase multi-million-dollar properties shortly before it sacked its employees.
Well, if you're a fan of the book Unrestricted Warfare, this would not seem the least bit out of the ordinary, where the communist Chinese are using non-military means to gain influence and corruption and corrupt their enemies because they are at war with the United States of America. And if they can destroy us culturally, mentally, physically, militaristically, technologically, culturally, it's all fair game. And this is just another great example of that. And the media is not talking about it at all.
Well, the media is not talking about it because what's happening is the communist Chinese are supporting Democrat Party candidates, and now it's clear, and thanks to Twitter, it's what's clear is that the Democrat Party now has compromised social media platforms, including Twitter, and of course the Democrat Party funded or led or state run media outlets are spinning, you know, the release of these Twitter accounts, which we'll talk about in a few minutes here. But the other Alphabet News, ABC, NBC, CBS, dedicated zero time to what has been released by Twitter, by Elon Musk and Twitter, and how the left wing, including Joe Biden's campaign, was extremely influential in determining what news would be disseminated during the campaign. And so it's real interesting what's happening. The left wing controls the media outlets. They control the narrative. You know, the Stacey Abrams story, and you know, it's really important that this information get out, because why should we allow the left wing to dictate the news? You know, why should we allow CARE to dictate, you know, who people are, when in fact it's CARE who are the sordid anti-American individuals? Well, the New Georgia Project had $11 million in its investment account in August when it set out to pay $2.45 million in cash for a sprawling Atlanta compound. Less than 2 months later, the organization dismissed half its leadership staff, citing lack of funds. And if you read this story, you can go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, and it's a story from the Washington Free Beacon. And it's, let's see, November 30. That's when the story came out. But in the story, they find it really interesting. The group already is locked into a $15,000 per month lease at its current office through 2025, the former executive said. Can you believe that? The building that they're going to purchase, okay, they had to put up a $30,000 non-refundable deposit. It's going to cost no less than $288,000 in repairs to be compliant, just to be compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. So, you know, here you have this issue with these bastards that have this all this money, and they have all this money that they're paying for, you know, that they're buying things with. They're using other people's money in doing so. No one's questioning that. And then all of a sudden, when the revelations come out that they're using and abusing, you know, people's donations, the media goes quiet. You know, Black Lives Matter, same thing. You have the corruption of the hierarchy of Black Lives Matter. Now you've got this issue of questionable financing, you know, by the New Georgia Project, and Stacey Abrams' name is associated with this organization, as was Raphael Warnock, but he's no longer associated with the New Georgia Project. I mean, $15,000 a month locked into a $15,000 a month lease through 2025. So for the next 3 years, they $180,000 a year. Well, if they got $11 million in the bank and an investment account, then they can afford to pay the $180,000. But I'll tell you what, if you're investing to the New Georgia Project and you already have, you know, the $180,000 is going just to rent, that's a pretty lavish organization, isn't it?
Sounds like BLM and their real estate corruption.
Yeah, exactly. You can't hear Al very well. I don't know. I can hear you pretty good. Can you hear me? Anybody
I hear you
else
fine.
In the chat room? Okay. All right. So you know, of course, the media is not going to talk about the illegitimate way that that the Democrat Party is and the organizations are using their funds. The media has completely ignored the Twittergate, as it was referred to in Jihad Watch. But one other topic that came up really quick, you got a volcano erupting in Hawaii. Mauna Loa has been an active volcano. It's erupting and it's threatening major roads in Hawaii. And what I find interesting, Al, is that just 2 weeks ago, a major earthquake struck Indonesia. And now you've got the volcano erupting in Mauna Loa, and it's really starting to pour some lava, and it is now a threat to some major roads in Hawaii. So we'll keep a watch on that one.
Who's getting the blame for the volcano?
Oh, I'm sure it's climate change.
Man-made climate change.
Yeah.
Guilty again.
Too many pineapples being grown in Hawaii.
Those tectonic plates moving around like that must be stopped, and only we can stop it.
That's right. Man can stop it.
Right.
It's Indonesia. Lara Trump is out as Fox News contributor after President Trump announced he's running for president. In the article, it stated that she seemed too enthusiastic about her father-in-law running for president of the United States. So Fox News let her go. I don't know if you saw this story, but find it very, very fascinating. Autopsy show COVID-19 vaccination likely caused fatal heart inflammation, the study shows. This one's in Epoch Times. It stated that 5 of the 25 all identified received a Moderna or a Pfizer vaccine within 7 days of their death. The median age was 58 years old. None of the people had COVID-19 infections prior to being vaccinated, and they tested them with nasal swabs, which were all negative. The vaccinations happened shortly before the deaths and enabled researchers to say three of the patients vaccinated with myocarditis and the cardiac condition was caused by the sudden death. So here again, once again, the government tried to suppress physicians who were speaking out against getting the vaccine and the side effects of myocarditis. Now, I know this is 5 of 25, but isn't that'll be one-fifth of the individuals who received the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines developed myocarditis. So there's something seriously going wrong. You have pilots, you know, developing blood clots, dying of heart attacks on runways. You have people suddenly dying, young individuals, males, females, suddenly dying at the age of 7, 8, 15, 12. You know, there's something's not right, and now you've got the federal government pushing harder and harder on vaccine mandates still. As well as I just read something where you see that Los Angeles may be requiring people to wear masks indoors once again. I mean, what the hell is going on here?
Your friend Warnock had an event, and it was required that everybody at the event wear a mask. So who came walking in without a mask?
Who?
Warnock.
No.
Yeah. All caught on video. You never hear a word about it in the news. Hypocrisy of the highest order for the world to see.
Yeah, it really and truly is, isn't it? I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then you've got, you know, Bonehead Biden, who is opposing dropping COVID vaccine mandates for military. So they want to keep the military men and women, the pilots and such, out opposed removing COVID-19 mandates and defense bill. You know, and again, we have the government who's sitting here and who's responsible for the rapid decline in enrollment and recruitment into the United States military. So not only has Dopey Joe, you know, caused a problem with our strategic petroleum reserves, but he's also put the United States military in critical situation of being undermanned. And I tell you, this guy is reckless, but this whole movement is reckless. This whole Marxist movement is absolutely reckless. Yeah, from the New York Post, White House Pentagon opposed removing COVID-19 vax mandate in defense bill. White House and Pentagon are opposing calls to end the COVID-19 vax mandate for troops as Congress negotiates a military spending plan that lawmakers insist include a repeal of the shot requirement. But wasn't it Dopey Joe who stated that the pandemic is over? I mean, he went on TV and he stated on a national TV show that the pandemic is over. So if the president can state that the pandemic is over, why then would you hold the United States military hostage? Senator Rand Paul stated Congress should take action, and we're taking action today by saying we will not vote to get on the NDAA, the Defense Authorization Bill, unless we have a vote on ending this military vaccine mandate. One of the vaccine order's main GOP opponents said at a press conference Wednesday, and that was Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Just, God. Oh, and now Biden and the administration say they see no reason to end the requirement. Well, there's one reason, because Joe Biden told the American people that the pandemic is over. Defense Secretary Austin, obviously, we're aware Congress is considering putting a repeal in the NDAA of the vaccine mandate. He said, Senator Austin be very clear that he opposes the repeal of the vaccine mandate, and the president actually concurs with Senate Secretary of Defense. Just another irresponsible and reckless act by this destructive, Biden-Harris regime. Just, it doesn't make any sense. And especially when Biden comes out and says the pandemic is over.
Yeah. And if you get the vaccine and you get boosted once, boosted twice, boosted three times, four times, even up to five, that will cure COVID and you'll never get it again, right?
Right. I mean, you could get myocarditis. You could just abruptly up and die, but you won't get COVID.
No. Well, you get all that and COVID too, because the vaccine doesn't work.
I mean, it's just like the flu shot. You get the flu shot, it doesn't mean you're not going to get the flu. I don't get it.
I do. It's control. You're controlling the population, and people along with it, and people are going along with it to such a degree that it's tearing families apart. You're having citizens who are telling on other citizens and family members who aren't complying with these mandates. They're just setting it up. They're seeing how much society can take, how much they can be controlled, just like what's happening in China right now with their zero COVID plan, and they're having riots in the streets in China. They're seeing how much the people can take. And here in America, sadly, I don't know about you, but I was scared to death at what people were doing, what I was seeing, and how I was treated. And what the president even said, that it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated, pointing me out for not getting vaccinated as being a part of the problem.
Well, that was intentional by Biden. And, you know, Biden is a separatist. He's an authoritarian. And his job is to separate the American people, divide them, divide and conquer. And so, he made us all out to be the bad guy, when in fact there is no scientific evidence that the vaccine does eradicate the China virus. But if you can instill enough fear into the hearts of the American people, and it's about control and power, and that's what authoritarians do. They dictate, they control, and they look for their power. And, this little man, Joe Biden, you know, has reached the pinnacle of his political career. At least we thought he would. We thought when he was vice president, that would be it. Who knew that they would install him as president? But he's showing his true Marxist colors. You know, the man's a racist. He's a fraud. And he's an habitual liar. And, you know, for him to continue this narrative, this farce, you know, on one breath, he's telling the American people that the pandemic is over. On the other breath, it's how do I control the American people and how do I divide families once again? Because now with Christmas coming up, all of a sudden you have Los Angeles County talking about imposing, you know, mask restrictions once again and requiring them indoors. Why? And, you know, isn't it's really weird. I have noticed, and I had this conversation with Holger, and I know you and I talked about it, but I have noticed more and more people now wearing masks. Going into a grocery store, I noticed more people wearing masks. And it's like, why? I saw two people over the weekend driving their vehicles with masks on. Why? Why? And I'm not getting it. It's already been proven that it's a developmental hazard to children. And it's causing other side effects. But why? And the answer, like you said, Al, is control. Is how do we control the American people? You know, the American people have felt enough individual liberties and freedoms, and it's time to rein that in. And it's time for the authoritarians to be in control and to start dismantling the republic.
Amen.
And
amen, Reverend Esposito.
Say amen. Give me an hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, well, and speaking of hallelujah, there's been one more cover-up issue, and that, of course, has been Twittergate, which is absolutely exploded last week. But yet the DNC state-run media, and I am calling them the DNC state-run media, because since this story broke, and you would figure over the weekend, you know, it's a hotbed on Sunday talk shows to be talking about the hottest topic of news. And you would think that with the release of information with regards to Twitter revealing their files, Elon Musk revealed some files. He actually handpicked an individual, a centrist, by the way, and actually the guy is more of a leftist, and Tlaibi, to basically be the Woodward and Bernstein, the DNC state-run media, Matt Taibbi was chosen by Elon Musk to release this information. Now, Matt Taibbi is not a conservative by any means, but he's a journalist. And the revelations of what was done under the previous Twitter regime, and it's no wonder the left wing was having heart palpitations, and not from getting the China virus vaccine, but it was having heart palpitations as a result of what was being released, and the truth was actually coming out. Because, you know, there's one cliche that's being run by the Democrat Party over the last 5 to 10 years, and that is that cliche of free and fair elections. That's a meaningless slogan. But if you take a look at what Matt had disclosed and uncovered, one would be very, very troubled by what Matt found. And what was found actually, excuse me, in the Twitter files that actually appeared. And the one thing Taibbi did, and that would be T-A-I-B-B-I, the one thing he did, he labeled them, numbered them, sorry, 1 to, you know, 37, I think, 39 at this point. So the number one on December 2nd, the Twitter files, that's the name of number one. Number two, what you're about to read is the first installment in a series based upon thousands of internal documents obtained by sources at Twitter. Now, I don't know about you, Al, but Jack Dorsey's Twitter was one oppressive social media platform. And it turns out that it's all by design. And it turns out that Twitter was actually in bed with the Democrat National Committee and the Joe Biden campaign. Number three, the Twitter files tell an incredible story from inside one of the world's largest and most influential social media platforms. It's a Frankensteinian tale of human-built mechanism grown out the control of its designer. Number four, Twitter, in its conception, was a brilliant tool for enabling instant mass communication, making a true real-time global conversation possible for the first time. And you can't argue with that statement. I can't argue with that statement. I mean, the conception of Twitter was indeed brilliant. An instant mass communication. You can have a dialogue with somebody in South America or in Europe. You can disseminate news immediately. And someone like Trump did it as a means of disseminating information because the so-called mainstream media would not disseminate information or the truth because they despised the man. Number five, in an early conception, Twitter more than lived up to its mission statement, giving people the power to create and share ideas and information instantly without barriers. Number six, as the time progressed, however, the company was slowly forced to add those barriers. Some of the first tools of controlling speech were designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters. And certainly that has to be an issue. You know, when you have some fraudulent information that's coming through, how do you weed that out? However, now you got number seven. Slowly over time, Twitter staff and executives began to find more and more uses for these tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well. First a little, then more often, then constantly. Now, the intent of free speech was not to manipulate speech. And who is it to determine what speech is considered hate speech, what speech is that you don't agree with? And because you sit on the left side of the aisle, if you don't like what a conservative is posting, it doesn't mean that it's false. It means that you don't have the cojones to sit there and debate someone that's on the right side of the aisle. Yeah. Let me read this little news. White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre decried the release of the Twitter files, referring to them as a distraction and old news. Can you believe this? I certainly can believe this coming out of the mouths of the deceptive ones in the Biden-Harris regime. But to sit there and say that is a distraction and old news, this is how you handle the disinformation that's been put out by these anti-Americans, these anti-constitutionalists of the Biden-Harris regime. So number six was, as time progressed, however, the company was slowly forced to add those barriers. Some of the first tools for controlling speech were designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters. Number seven, slowly over time, Twitter staff executives began to find more and more uses for these tools. Outsiders began petitioning the company to manipulate speech as well, first a little, then often, then constantly. Number eight, by 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, more to review from the Biden team. The reply would come back handled. Really, by 2020, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. One executive would write to another, more to review from the Biden team. The reply would come back handled. So where is the mainstream media? Or the so-called mainstream media in America and the DNC state-run media. So I think that the DNC is the state-run media. And I think so because of these new revelations being disclosed uncover a rampant coordinated collusion by real bad actors. Connected actors? That would be the Jack Dorsey Twitter team and the left-wing side of the aisle, a major political party using Twitter as a communications tool to suppress information and to disseminate their fraudulent information. You know, the Democrat Party has a fraudulent cliche, and that fraudulent slogan is free and fair elections. And this is proving to be false by the destructive and corrupt political party, the Democrat Party. December 2nd, Matt Taibbi tweeted the following. It's been a whirlwind 96 hours for me, too. There's much more to come, including answers to questions about issues like shadow banning, boosting, follower counts, the fate of various individual accounts, and more. These issues are not limited to the political right. But for those of you who are on Twitter, and you've seen it, and we've all been victims of the left-wing Twitter, removing followers, and then you've shadow banning. You know, you send out a tweet, and all of a sudden you see you have five people looking at your tweet. And yet you have 5,000 followers? Yet the fraudulence of Joe Biden having, what, 81 million followers, and you find out that half the followers are fraudulent? Twitter 9 by Taibbi. Celebrities and unknowns alike could be removed or reviewed at the behest of a political party. Yeah, like James Woods. How many times was James Woods removed? Especially after Jack Dorsey's Twitter was on a mission to destroy the New York Post for having the audacity to air correct information about Hunter Biden and the Biden laptop and the fraud of Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the Biden crime family. See, if you go back to tweet 8, requests from connected actors to delete tweets were routine. How much of an influence was the Biden election team, the Democrat National Committee, and Twitter in colluding to remove the New York Post and suspend their free speech? Well, you know, Vito, it's a private company. Oh, okay. Yet they're engaged in manipulating the news, manipulating information. And they are the bastions of truth because if it didn't fit their narrative, their left-wing narrative, suddenly that narrative was false. Number 10, both parties had access to these tools. For instance, 2020 requests from both the Trump White House and the Biden campaign were received and honored. However, number 11, the system wasn't balanced. It was based on contacts. And because Twitter was and is overwhelming staffed by people of one political orientation, and that would be left wing, there were more channels, more ways to complain, open to the left, well, Democrats, than the right. 99.7% was given to the Democrat Party by Twitter employees. 99.7%. Out of $185,000 donated, $165,969 went to Democrats, $451 went to Republicans. Out of the $968,000 in 2020 in campaign donations, $909,000 went to Democrats, $14,000 went to Republicans. I say that's overwhelmingly Democrat supportive. So this was no more of a free information any longer. There was an agenda by Twitter, as there was an agenda by Facebook. And it was already proven that in 2016, Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Chen, gave over $400 million of their money to the Democrat Party. And Twitter did the same. And Twitter knew that President Trump's means of communication, where you knew exactly what he was thinking, was the use of Twitter. And Jack Dorsey and Twitter shut down the President of the United States and denied his freedom of speech. Jack Dorsey and Twitter and his Twitter company manipulated the 2020 elections. So much for the cliche by the Democrat Party for a free and fair election. Twitter 12 by Matt Taibbi. The resulting slant in content moderation decisions is visible in the documents you're about to read. However, it's also the assessment of multiple and current former high-level executives. Oh, so if you want facts, okay, and now the facts are being confirmed by former high-level executives. That's not good enough for the DNC-controlled state media because they didn't say a peep about Twittergate this entire weekend. Do you know how many minutes were dedicated to the Twitter story, the Twitter files that were released on December 2nd over on Sunday talk shows on ABC, on NBC, on CBS, on CNN? Do you know how many minutes were dedicated to this? 0.0. Now, if you don't think the Democrat National Committee is in bed with social media platforms like Twitter, like Facebook, you're smoking pot. Why in the world would so-called journalists at these alphabet soup news organizations not want to address this issue about fraudulent elections, huh? Why? You know why? Because it would give credibility to President Trump. And you know why? Because Jerry Nadler wrote a six-page manifesto that says you never legitimize Trump. And you know why? Because Twitter, under Jack Dorsey, under that regime, was corrupt as hell. And so was Facebook. And so is the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party is a direct threat to our constitutional republic. And they have proven it by suppressing information. They suppressed news media. Part of the First Amendment of the United States Constitution in the Bill of Rights states Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And yet it was Twitter who abridged the freedom of speech of one individuals, Americans, everyday Americans, who were simply talking about the issues that were at the forefront, supporting their candidates, wanting to know why such information is not being discussed, such as the Hunter Biden laptop and the perversion and the corruption and the payola of this individual and his father and his crime family. It was imperative that Twitter suppress Tony Bobulinski because Tony Bobulinski came out with a true revelation that the big guy knew exactly what was going on and was receiving a stipend, 10%, I believe it was. And the DNC and their state-run media made a conscious decision to omit this information from the voter, thereby tampering with a free and fair election. And then, of course, you have the right of a free press. And you have Twitter suppressing the New York Post, the oldest newspaper in the United States, and suppressing information. It took 18 months for the information to come out that it was absolutely real with the New York Post was, in fact, printing. It was a fact. It was indeed Hunter Biden's laptop. Number 16, the Twitter files, part one, how and why Twitter blocked the Hunter Biden laptop story. Hunter Biden laptop story was blocked by Twitter. And this past weekend, not one Alphabet News covered this story. not one. That's not objectivity. That means that they are in bed with social media platforms. That means that the DNC is controlling the media in this country, just like they brought in ABC to direct the January 6th farce hearings. They brought in a TV production company to direct it. I don't recall that happening in 1973 when they were investigating Watergate. They didn't bring in a news organization to direct this in a particular slant, but somehow today, the Democrat Party of today, the destructive Democrat Party, is orchestrating this hoax. Number 17 by Matt Taibbi. On October 14, 2020, the New York Post published Biden's secret emails, an expose based on the contents of Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. Biden's secret emails. Twitter tampered with a free and fair election, knowing that that information was absolutely true, and yet they found a way to manipulate the 2020 election because the intent was to get rid of Donald Trump. Do not legitimize Trump under any circumstances. Divide Donald Trump from his followers and from Congress and congressional Republicans, and divide congressional Republicans from each other. That was the goal. That was the goal that Jack Dorsey's Twitter also held in high esteem. Number 18, Twitter took extraordinary steps to suppress the story, removing links and posting warnings that it may be unsafe. They even blocked the transmission via direct message, a tool hitherto reserved for extreme cases, i.e. child pornography. So Twitter knew exactly what they were doing. You know, what I find really interesting, the DNC state-run media outlets, ABC, NBC, CBS, The New York Times, PBS, NPR, you know, MSNBC, they all want to be Woodward and Bernstein's. Okay? They all want to be Woodward and Bernstein. They want to break the next news. But you know what it amounts to? They don't want to break the news. What they want to do is they want to break the Republican Party. They want to break conservatives. They despise anybody on the right side of the aisle. That's how disingenuous the news media is today. They are not journalists. They are newsreaders. And the more revelations that are coming out, the more files that are being released, more Twitter files being released, and Matt Taibbi publishing these Twitter files, goes to show how corrupt the media is in this country, how influential they want to be, but it's only for one cause, and that's for the left-wing cause in America. Number 19, White House spokeswoman Kayleigh McEnany was locked out of her account for tweeting about the story, prompting a furious letter from Trump campaign staffer Mike Hahn, who sees at least pretend to care for the next 20 days. So the White House spokeswoman, Kayleigh McEnany, who is today's Jean-Pierre, okay? Jean-Pierre can put out disinformation. Jean-Pierre can give misinformation. Jean-Pierre can flat out lie to the American people, just like she did with this White House spokeswoman, decried the release of the Twitter files, referring to them as distraction and old news. That's an absolutely fraudulent statement. It's old news that Twitter conspired with the Biden campaign to suppress anybody who's on the right side of the aisle or who opposed Joe Biden for president. That's somehow, that's disinformation, that's old news, that's a distraction. The real distraction is Jean-Pierre, who's gaslighting the American people. But Jack Dorsey's Twitter did that to Kayleigh McEnany. They locked the White House spokeswoman, okay? The White House press secretary was locked out of her Twitter account. Number 20. This led public policy executive Caroline Strom to send out a polite what the F query. Several employees noted that there was tension between the comms, the policy teams, who had little less or less control over moderation and the safety trust teams. Well, we'll take a closer look at this, okay? We'll take a closer look as to why Kayleigh McEnerney was locked out of her Twitter account, and here she is. She's White House press secretary. Number 21 by Matt Taibbi. Strom's note returned the answers that the laptop story has been removed for the violation of company's hacked material policy. Oh, so the New York Post, oldest media publication, newspaper publication in the United States, who verifies their sources to the nth degree, okay, who verified the source of the Hunter Biden laptop, they deemed the New York Post's tweet about Hunter Biden's laptop to be hacked material. You see the lengths at which the left-wing social media platforms will find a way to squash news. This is extremely newsworthy because what it would have led to is to show how corrupt Joe Biden truly is. There was a reason why Joe Biden could never earn or never earn the trust of even his own party to earn the nomination for President of the United States from the Democrat Party over the last 40 years, because he's a liar. He's a fraud. He's a pimp for whoever he wants to be. He's a chameleon with no conviction except one. He's a Marxist. He's an anti-constitutionalist. That would be two. But under Joe's terms, that's still one. Number 22. This is where it gets good. Although several sources recall hearing about a general warning from the federal law enforcement that summer about possible foreign hacks, there's no evidence that I've seen of any government involvement in the laptop story. In fact, that might have been the problem. No government involvement. And what was the Democrat Party's narrative? Russian hacking, Russian influence, Russian collusion. You know, Donald Trump is a Russian operative. The Russians sent this, disseminated this information. It's about delay, 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 stall, delay, delay. Get by those 20 days, those last 20 days to ensure that bumbling Biden would be appointed, anointed, would be installed as President of the United States, and suppress as much information as you can. Some way, shape, or form, you must dishonor the New York Post. Number 23, the decision was made at the highest levels of the company, but without the knowledge of CEO Jack Dorsey, with former head of legal policy and trust Vijay Gadde playing a key role. Oh, so Jack Dorsey didn't know what was going on. That's great, plausible deniability. But it looks like the head of legal and policy and trust played a key role. The head of legal? So you had a lawyer making the decisions to suppress information, to withhold free speech, to deny free speech of individual Americans and of the press? Number 24, they just freelanced it, is how one former employee characterized the decision. Hacking was the excuse, but within a few hours, pretty much everyone realized that wasn't going to hold, but no one had the guts to reverse it. It wasn't going to hold, but guess what? The coordinated sound bites from the left wing, from the Democrats, from the Democrat Party was hacking. You know, Adam Lying Schiff used the term hacking. Hillary Rotten Clinton talked about hacking, okay? Jerry Nadler, it was hacking. You know, Nancy Pelosi, it was hacking. And, of course, Donald Trump was the evil guy in this whole thing. And it turns out that Twitter was the evil organization. It turns out there was no hacking. It turns out that the New York Post was absolutely 100% right. It was Hunter Biden's laptop. But, you know, under this dishonest regime, under this dishonest Biden-Harris regime, this is now a distraction to have these files released, and it's old news. No, it's not old news, Jean-Pierre. You're a lightweight liar. You're a fraudulent individual who's up there trying to find a way to deflect from the truth. Number 25 by Matt Taibbi. You can see the confusion in the following lengthy exchange, which ends up including Gotti and former Trust and Safety Chief Yoel Roth, Commissioner's official Trenton Kennedy writes, "I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for making this as unsafe. I'm sorry, for marking this as unsafe." And the exchanges at 10/14/2020, New York Post, Hunter Biden laptop article, "Privileged and confidential. Our teams continue to investigate the origins of the material, including the reporting." Trenton Kennedy, "I'm struggling to understand the policy basis for marking this as unsafe. And I think the best explainability argument for this externally would be that we're waiting to understand if the story is a result of hacked material. We'll face hard questions on this if we don't have some kind of solid reasoning for marking this link unsafe." Trenton Kennedy, CC'd Yoel, CC'd at Twitter, CC'd R. Summers, CC'd Twitter, CC'd I. Plunkett. He included Twitter, Crowsboro. He included Twitter, Katie Roseborough. "We will also mark similar stories as unsafe." Oh, so there you go. So now you have a situation where Katie Roseborough also intended to make sure that all stories that were related to the Hunter Biden laptop would be marked as unsafe. Didn't matter. Anything that was going to talk about Joe Biden, his illicit activities, his son's illicit activities, was going to be marked as unsafe. Number 26, "By this point, everyone knew this was fucked," said one former employee. But the response was essentially to err on the side of, continue to err. Yoel Roth, "The policy basis is hacked material, though. As discussed, this is an emerging situation where the facts remain unclear." Well, the fact was they weren't hacked. So Yoel goes on to reply, "Given the severe risk here and lessons of 2016, we're erring on the side of including a warning and preventing this content from being amplified." Ah, there you go. You actually have it in writing that Twitter was preventing content from being disseminated. VJ Gotti, "What is the warning that will come up?" Yoel Roth, "New. When you click the link, you'll see the generic unsafe URL, references spam, malware, and violations of Twitter rules. Not ideal, but it's the only thing we have." Ian Plunkett, "New. Whatever we do in the comms, this will become a bias claim for Jack's pre-hearing immediately. Let's make it clear we're proactively but cautiously interpreting this through the lens of our hacked material policy and allowing the link with a warning and significant reduction of spread." Significant reduction of spread. Preventing this content from being amplified. And the alphabet media, the DNC-controlled state media, ABC, NBC, CBS, didn't talk not one word about Twittergate this whole weekend. You don't think that these DNC-controlled state media is not in bed with the Democrat National Committee? How in the world do you not talk about this information that has been revealed? The intentional suppressing of information. How in the world don't you talk about this? Why? Because you cannot give Trump the benefit of the doubt. Number 27 by Matt Taibbi. Former VP of Global Communications Brandon Borman asks, "Can we truthfully claim that this is part of the policy?" It didn't matter to Jack Dorsey's Twitter. It didn't matter. The ends justify the means. The ends was to get Joe Biden elected. The ends was to make sure that Donald Trump was defeated by any means. And that means was to withhold information. That means was to suppress information. That means was to lie. And that's what they did. Number 28, to which former Deputy General Counsel Jim Baker again seems to advise staying the non-course because caution is warranted. Caution is warranted. Okay? Former Deputy General Counsel Jim Baker. New, privileged and confidential. I support the conclusion that we need more facts to assess whether the material was hacked. At this stage, however, it's reasonable for us to assume that they may have been, and the caution is warranted. There are some facts that indicate the materials may have been hacked, where there are others indicating that the computer was either abandoned and or owned, consented to allow the repair shop to access it for at least some purpose. We simply need that information. So would have been, you know what would have been a reasonable? It would have, the reasonable thing would have been to go on Google, type in New York Post newspaper, find out who the editor of the New York Post is. Okay, so I'm in the New York Post right now. I typed it in, and guess what? The first page of the New York Post comes up. Now, you can then also look up at the very bottom of the New York Post webpage. You can look up about the New York Post. Back of the New York Post, under that link about the New York Post, it reads, founded in 1801 by Alexander Hamilton. Go down a little bit further. Leadership. Sean Giancola, CEO, publisher. Keith Poole, editor-in-chief. Stephen Lynch, editor-in-chief. Ownership, New York Post, a unit of News Corp. Now, as the chief counsel for Twitter, Mr. Getty could have absolutely just picked up the phone and said, hello, is this the New York Post? Which the switchboard operator would say, yes. I am calling on behalf of Jack Dorsey. I am head of legal at Twitter. Oh, I have a Twitter account myself, Mr. Getty. Great. Can I please speak to Sean Giancola, the CEO and publisher of the New York Post? I need to verify the validity of a story. Now, you would think that as powerful as Twitter is, all one person would have to do. Matter of fact, Getty could have actually asked Jack Dorsey, hey, Jack, and I'm sorry to get you involved in this, but and I know you have to testify before Congress and lie to them and give a deposition, but could you call Sean Giancola to find out if the story that they posted about Hunter Biden's laptop is true? Have they verified it? Can you imagine how simple that would be? Can you imagine that the influence of Twitter, as large and influential as they are, you mean to tell me they couldn't pick up the phone and call the New York Times editor-in-chief to verify the validity of a story? Well, you know, Vito, the New York Post, you know, probably 75% of the time doesn't have the same political leanings as the left-wing Twitter. Ah, and hence, there you have the issue. So Twitter had to remain in bed, okay, with the Democrat National Committee, with the Joe Biden campaign for president team, in order to make sure that information was suppressed about Joe Biden and his sordid activities, his corrupt cocaine son, Hunter, in order to ensure that Joe Biden would would win the 2020 election, presidential election. Hell, they've already removed, you know, President Trump from Twitter. They removed Kayleigh McEnery, the White House press secretary. The White House press secretary. Number 29, a fundamental problem with tech companies and content moderation. Many people in charge of speech know, care little about speech and have to be told the basics by outsiders. No kidding. In this case, though, the Jack Dorsey Twitter team was in bed with the Democrat National Committee, was in bed with Joe Biden's president for president team. They were in bed with a major political party, and they used their platform to suppress the opposition party, at least opposition in their eyes. But to the American people, there are two parties, a Democrat Party and Republican Party. And Twitter was ensuring that the Republican Party was not getting their message out. Number 30, in one humorous exchange on day one, Democrat Congressman Ro Khanna reaches out to Gotti to gently suggest she hop on the phone to talk about the backlash RE speech. Khanna was the only Democrat official I could find in the files who expressed concern. Now, isn't it something? And I'm not even going to call her Democratic because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. And these Twitter files absolutely confirm that there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party. But here a congresswoman can pick up the phone and call the number two person at Twitter and get through, VJ Gotti. And yet, the number two person at Twitter couldn't pick up the phone and call the publisher, the editor-in-chief at the New York Post. It just goes to show how corrupt that the former Twitter team truly is, or was, excuse me. Gotti replies quickly, immediately diving into the weeds of the Twitter policy, unaware Khanna is more worried about the Bill of Rights. Oh, can you imagine that a Democrat Party member is worried about the Bill of Rights? Hi, Congressman Khanna. Thank you for reaching out. And we appreciate the heads up. We put out a clarifying thread of tweets earlier this evening to explain our policy around the posting of private information and linking directly to hacked materials. The press secretary's account was not permanently suspended. We requested that she delete the tweet containing material that is a violation of our own Twitter rules, and her account is restricted until she complies. I'd be happy to jump on the phone if helpful. My team in D.C., Jessica and Lauren, are copied here and also available to discuss. Thanks, Vijaya. And you see how the lies continued by the chief legal counsel for Twitter? The lie tweets early this evening to explain our policy around the posting of private information and linking directly to hacked materials. And in the previously 15 Twitter files that were posted by Matt Taibbi, they knew that this was not hacked material, but they lied, including the lawyer, the chief legal counsel for Twitter, flat out lied. And lied to a congresswoman. And lied to a Democrat congresswoman at that. Number 32, Khanna tries to reroute the conversation to the First Amendment, mention of which is generally hard to find in files. Ro Khanna to VJ Gotti. Ro Khanna, but this seems a violation of the First Amendment principles. And, you know, I found that interesting because it's the left wing. It's the Democrat Party. It's the Marxists that all say that, well, Twitter's a private company. Oh, well, they can do it. They're a private company. Oh, but now you have a member of the Democrat Party who, I don't know how Ro Khanna, she has a conscience, so she mustn't be part of the inner circle of the Democrat Party. But she states that this seems a violation of the First Amendment principles. If there is a hack of classified information or other information that could expose a serious war crime, and the New York Times was to publish it, I think the New York Times should have the right. A journalist should not be held accountable for illegal actions of the source unless they actively aided the hack. So to restrict the distribution of that information, especially regarding a presidential candidate, seems not in keeping of the principles of New York versus Sullivan. I say this as a total Biden partisan and convinced he didn't do anything wrong, but the story now has become more about censorship than relative innocuous emails, and it's become a bigger deal than it would have been. It also is now leading to serious efforts to curtail Section 230, many of which would have been a mistake. I believe Twitter itself should curtail what it recommends and puts in trending news, and your policy against QAnon groups is all good. It's a hard balance. But in the heat of the presidential campaign, restricting dissemination of newspaper articles, even if New York Post is far right, the New York Post is far right, of course, because it supported Donald Trump or it didn't support, okay, the left-wing anti-constitutionalist Joe Biden, okay? But it seems like it will invite more backlash than it will do good. Please keep this information between just us and Jack, and no need to CC forward to them. Just wanted to offer my 2 cents, okay? So Representative Ro Khanna, she wanted to keep this on the QT, you know? Don't disseminate this information. And again, I guess this is all news to Jean-Pierre, right? The fact that a member of the United States House of Representatives wanted information open, but it was suppressed, but then she didn't want the fact that her, who's working for the people, that her, you know, email or her contact to Vijaya Gadde would be out there to the public city. But I guess it's old news, huh, Jean-Pierre? You know, Representative Ro Khanna was just offering her 2 cents. Yet a member of the United States House of Representatives can contact the number two person at Twitter, and yet the number two person at Twitter can't contact the number one or number two person at the New York Post to find out how they vetted that information about Hunter Biden's laptop, which means that Twitter was in bed with the Democrat National Committee, which means that Twitter was in bed with the Joe Biden presidential campaign. Number 33, within a day, head of public policy, Lauren Culbertson, receives a ghastly letter report from Carl Szabo of the research firm Net Choice, which had already polled 12 members of Congress, 9 R's and 3 Dems, from the House Judiciary Committee to Representative Judy Chu's office. And it stated, Lauren, yesterday Net Choice Chris Marchese met informally with 9 Republicans and 3 Democrat House staffers to gather intel about Facebook, Twitter, and the New York Post story. The staffers hail from the House Judiciary Committee to Representative Judy Chu's office. Uh-oh. Number 34. Net Choice lets Twitter know a bloodbath awaits in upcoming Hill hearings, with members saying it's a tipping point, complaining tech has grown so big that they can't even regulate themselves, so government may need to intervene. Well, of course, Nancy Pelosi was in charge of the House, so the bloodbath was not going to happen. The Republicans in the minority would be angry, but they would have little or no voice, and certainly Foghorn Leghorn McConnell wasn't going to chop Twitter off at the knees, because the idea was, you know, if Joe Biden gets elected, they get rid of Donald Trump. So, yeah, Republicans are at a tipping point. Very few Republicans would be at a tipping point, because, again, the ends justify the means. And the ends was to get rid of Donald Trump. Number 36, Szabo reports to Twitter that some Hill figures are characterized the laptop story as text access Hollywood moment. And again, you had to, oh, sorry, that was 35. You had to find a way to degrade the New York Post and to simply brush off the Hunter Biden laptop, at least get through Election Day with trying to offer the narrative that there is no validity to the Hunter Biden laptop story. And Twitter was a great vehicle for that. They suppressed and censored the President of the United States, President Donald Trump. They suppressed and they censored Kayleigh McEnerney, White House press secretary. And I guess under Jean-Pierre's mental capacity, that would be considered old news. What's a distraction is this White House is not addressing it. Why? Because they are deeply involved in the cover-up and misinformation and disinformation and the suppression of information under Twitter. And now the new owners of Twitter, who are vilified by the left wing, by the way, are releasing this information because they want a clean slate. And that would be Elon Musk. He's not playing these games. Twitter was set up as a free speech vehicle, and it should be. But it quickly morphed into the mouthpiece of the Democrat National Committee. I'm sorry. I said Ro McConnell is a female. Congresswoman is a male. He was born in Philly. American from India. My bad. I apologize, Congressman McKinney. Congressman Khanna. Twitter files continued, number 36. The First Amendment isn't absolute. This one I really love. Szabo's letter contains chilling passages relaying Democrat lawmakers' attitudes. They want more moderation, and as far as the Bill of Rights, it's not absolute. So for the media narrative to continue to call the Democrats democratic lawmakers, there is nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. Not one of them. Not one. The First Amendment isn't absolute. That's the Democrat Party's position. It's not absolute because they want to control, the left wing, want to control the narrative. They don't want conservatives to have a voice. Democrats, meanwhile, complained, this is what was in the files from Matt Taibbi, Democrats, meanwhile, complained that the companies are inept. They let conservatives muddy the water and make the Biden campaign look corrupt, even though Biden is innocent. Oh, poor Joe Biden, he's so innocent. The big guy who takes 10% of the graft is innocent. But that's not from the conservative side. That is from a former partner, Tony Bobulinski. But please, don't give Tony Bobulinski any credibility as being a former partner of Hunter crackhead Biden. Because those are the facts. And somehow that muddies the waters when you bring up facts. And you make the Biden campaign look corrupt. We didn't have to make the Biden campaign look corrupt because the Biden campaign is corrupt. They link this to the Hillary Clinton email scandal. She did nothing wrong. Oh, no, she only destroyed 30,000 emails. She didn't do anything wrong. That poor woman, she's such a victim. Hillary Rotten Clinton is such a victim as well. But because the press wouldn't let the story go, really, the press is the one that helped end the story. Press is the one that distracted and they deflected the story. You gotta love these people. Okay, sorry. This Hillary Clinton email scandal, she did nothing wrong because the press wouldn't let go of the story. It became a scandal far out of proportion. In their minds, social media is doing the same thing. It doesn't moderate enough harmful content. So when it does, like it did yesterday, it becomes a story. If the companies moderated more, conservatives wouldn't even think to use social media for disinformation, misinformation, or otherwise. You see, control the narrative. This is what the left wing does well. They control the narrative. You talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. You talk about Hunter Biden's sordid dealings. You talk about Hunter and Joe Biden's sordid dealings with China, with Ukraine, with a quid pro quo of firing a special prosecutor, Viktor Shokin. And now that's disinformation? No, excuse me. That was right from the horse's mouth. That was right from Joe Biden's own mouth. And somehow, the left wing has determined that was disinformation or misinformation and misinformation. But you see, it is the left wing who is controlling the narrative. There is nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. The Democrats were in agreement. Social media needs to moderate more because they're corrupting democracy and making all truth relative. When pushed on how the government might insist on that, consistent with First Amendment, they demurred, the First Amendment isn't absolute. That's horseshit. That is an absolute flat-out lie. You want to talk about a campaign of disinformation and misinformation? That is the Democrat Party, who decided that their false cliche is going to be the First Amendment isn't absolute. It's not absolute because the left wing in this country doesn't want any news from the conservatives to disseminate out to the public. It's why there's only one news medium right now, and that's Sky News, who does any type of critiquing of bonehead Biden and his corrupt means. And it's why in Biden's own admission of a quid pro quo with Ukraine, that no questions now are even asked. And it was Nancy Pelosi who immediately jumped into action to cover up for Joe Biden and his quid pro quo by seeking to impeach President Trump for having the audacity to inquire from President Zelensky about the quid pro quo by Joe Biden and Barack Obama, president and vice president at the time. And Twitter then determined that the New York Post story about this laptop, about Hunter Biden's laptop, was disinformation. And it was Twitter who also helped spike the story or advance the story about Donald Trump being a Russian asset. It was a dossier that was put together by Christopher Steele that was paid for by Hillary Rodham Clinton, her campaign, and the DNC. And now this is supposed to be disinformation? The First Amendment isn't absolute? Let's see. There we go. There are multiple instances in the files of Dorsey intervening to question suspensions and other moderation actions for accounts across the political spectrum. An amazing subplot of the Twitter Hunter Biden laptop affair was how much was done without the knowledge of CEO Jack Dorsey and how long it took for the situation to get unfucked, as one ex-employee put it, even after Dorsey jumped in. And lastly, the problem with the hacked materials ruling, several sources said, was that this normally requires an official law enforcement finding of a hack. But such finding never appeared throughout what one executive describes as a whirlwind 24-hour company-wide mess. Hi, owls. Here is a memo. Hi, owls. As you're probably aware, Twitter actioned tweets yesterday relative to two New York Post articles that were tweeted out that allegedly included pictures and screenshots of emails from a laptop that allegedly belonged to Hunter Biden, presidential candidate Joe Biden's son. Our teams made the determination that the materials fall under our hacked materials policy, in addition to sharing personal information, so links were actioned. As you may know, this existing policy framework was launched in 2018 to mitigate real-time harm based on hacked and leaked scenarios coming out of the 2016 election. Several high-profile accounts, including press outlets, were impacted by this decision and were actioned. Unfortunately, the language that was provided in the product may have created confusion, indicating the links were spam or unsafe. Consequently, Twitter Safety explains the reasoning here in a thread. So the New York Post made a concerted effort. I'm sorry, Twitter made a concerted effort to spike the New York Post and then to blame it on hacking. All garbage, all minutia. Welcome, Holger. Thanks for the info on Ro Khanna. That was my bad.
Oh, thanks for going through all that. I mean, that is, you know, it actually, you know, it's, you might get like 50 million listens this week because you're the only place where people can actually find out about that. You know, average Americans
can't find it on ABC, NBC, or CBS, did you?
You know, isn't it ironic that, you know, in 2020, nobody could find out about the Hunter Biden story in the New York Post because the Democrats shut it all down. And now, when Twitter exposes it, they shut down that.
Yeah. There was somebody on MSNBC who called it content moderation on Friday. She goes, you know, this is about content moderation. Really? That's what it's content moderation. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to moderate you.
So if the president's press secretary sent out a tweet that included an article on the effectiveness of masks against COVID or vaccine against COVID, then couldn't Twitter shut down her account for misinformation?
One would think so. Under this Twitter regime, they might. But then again, he may not even shut down that information. But certainly under Jack Dorsey's, if it was coming out of a Democrat-controlled administration, they would not suppress that information.
Yeah. Well, the reason I called in is I just, you know, I was on Twitter the other day, and of course I'm obviously thrilled that this was all released and all that kind of good stuff. But I ran across a tweet where somebody said, you know, Elon Musk for president. Okay.
All right.
and I think it's valuable to remind everybody that Elon Musk is not a conservative. Okay. Now he's doing a lot of right things. I love the guy. Twitter, and I'm an avid Twitter user, so I'm thrilled with the changes at Twitter. And so don't get me wrong. I'm not bad mouthing Elon Musk, but you know we got to remember he's the guy that sat down with Macron from France a few days ago, talking about electric vehicles and climate change and stuff. So, but you know he's a brilliant man. And I thought of this today. I thought to myself, Elon Musk is smart enough to know that there's a distinct possibility that Donald Trump is going to be president in 2025. Okay?
All right.
So if Donald Trump is president, and let's just say that even more reps in the House were Republican at that time, and let's just say that the Senate shifted a little bit, so Republicans were in the Senate. Just think if Donald Trump got in and decided that it was time to do a complete investigation of the 2020 elections. And what if somebody just happened to do an investigation of big tech and what role they played in the 2020 election? So what would happen if the investigators came in to meet with Facebook and meet with Twitter? And when they met with Twitter, they said, you know, Mr. Musk, we understand that you didn't purchase Twitter until after the 2020 elections, but we have reports that you have access to what actually happened, that you knew about interference in the 2020 elections, and you've sat on that information. Elon Musk is not a stupid man.
No, he's not.
He released this information, I think partly because he wanted to do the right thing, but I think partly it's he's a brilliant businessman who doesn't want to end up in prison or get sued for $50 billion. And that's the whole gist of it. And at the same time, if Trump does win, if that investigation did happen, then I would highly suggest that Vijaya Gadhi might want to try and find an apartment over in Crete quickly.
Or blend in somewhere in India.
Yeah. So anyway, I just figured I'd throw that out. But thanks for going through all of those posts because, you know, people that aren't on Twitter, I mean, where could you read that? I mean, quite frankly, other than a couple of conservative sites, you know, I mean, this is the sad thing about living in this country now is the general public just is completely oblivious to any of this happening. You know, anything that's gone on, I mean, it's not even the truth. It's, you know, it's not like we, you know, I make the comment all the time that I said the other day, I said that I haven't heard the truth since, like, you know, Reagan was president. And, but truth is one thing, but just information is another. I mean, it's one thing for a media to spin something. It's one thing for a media to write something with a slant, but for a media to simply block a story, to block something that happened, that's Soviet Union stuff.
Yep.
And that's part of this whole education and the lack and the loss of our First Amendment. The First Amendment is not there to protect nice speech. It's there to protect mean, nasty, bigoted speech. The worst speech possible is to be protected, and it is to be out into the world for everybody to see, and then it's the other people who disagree are supposed to counter that 10 times more and be a voice against it, just like we did with the KKK, making them totally irrelevant. But that's been lost with this misinformation because you have one group determining what is misinformation. And like you said, that is right out of Pravda, right out of the communist playbook and Marxism. And that's what's winning the day. And in my opinion, this whole Twitter, Elon Musk, this is a pushback, and we are getting a civic lesson in the First Amendment, sort of.
And that's perfect, Al, because, and like Vito read, I mean, it comes down to a Democrat congressman who's immigrated from India to enlighten some highfalutin $17 million a year attorney who I'm sure probably spent 3 years in university, in law school, going through the Constitution, schooling her, and she happens to be an immigrant from India's daughter, you know, schooling her on the Constitution, on what the First Amendment actually says. I mean, I don't know this guy from Adam, but I mean, I wanted to give the guy a standing ovation because, I mean, she tried to spin him like he was some cub reporter from, you know, some two-bit news place, and he basically came back and said, "Hold on a second here. If the New York Times wants to publish this, that's their right."
Yep.
Just exactly what you said, Al. Free speech is free speech, and quite frankly, that one section that Vito read, that one section is encapsulates exactly what is wrong with this country right now, where you have somebody like Vijaya Gadhi, who believes that this whole country needs to operate and live the way she wants it to. She firmly believes that. And that's scary.
The ends justify the means. Yep, it's scary because the ends justify the means. The end was you got to defeat Donald Trump and get Joe Biden elected, and it's their vision, it's their belief system that is absolute. And then to sit there and say that the First Amendment isn't absolute, it's just an absolute lie. It's a false narrative. It is an absolute false cliche.
Can you imagine if Donald Trump on the campaign trail right now stated that the First Amendment isn't absolute?
Oh, people would go nuts.
he'd be impeached again.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that they would spin it, Holger. I really do. I think that they would spin that into that we all must be safe from harm, and we are here to protect you from harm and to protect the community. And if you are against that, you are a bigot and a racist, and your rising volume of hate on these platforms must be cast down. And we, the government, will do it.
Well, one last thing that I would do if I was if I was Donald Trump and I won the presidency in 2024 and I took office in 2025 and I started the investigations about the 2020 election, one of the things I would do is I'd call into one big room. I'd call in the owners and the chief editors for the Washington Post, New York Times, CBS, ABC, NBC, all those guys. I'd bring them all in and just say, okay, we need you to turn over all your books because we want to see what was communicated to you about publishing any of these reports that the New York Post had put out. We want to see communications from the DNC, communications from DC officials. We want to see who told you not to publish, republish anything that the Post said. I mean, this is just Twitter we're talking about. That's all we're talking about right now is Twitter.
I don't think I have a bomb.
We know damn well. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, Zuckerberg was like scared shitless of the FBI. The FBI basically told him, you better not allow any of this, if I'm not mistaken.
He was, because it was uncovered. It was revealed that Zuckerberg and his wife, Chen, had given over $435 million to the Democrat Party to help get out the vote in what was it, 10 states that they invested, that was the word, invested in, $435 million to the Democrat Party. And it comes to light after the Twitter revelation comes into play. So, like you said, if you start asking for all this information, Twitter is not alone in this whole thing, in this whole collusion between the Democrat Party, the Democrat presidential candidate, and that platform, and that left-wing platform. Twitter's not the only
one.
Well,
and I'll just say this, because I think it's been, you know, when the FBI went to Zuckerberg during that time frame and they told him that there was this Russian disinformation about Hunter's laptop, and they said you can't be allowing that content on. That's what Zuckerberg testified to. He testified to the fact that they told him that this was going on, that he needed to be on the lookout for it. Okay, I want to remind everybody, when that happened, who was the FBI reporting to? Who was Attorney General at that time?
Who?
Sure as hell wasn't Merrick Garland.
Yeah.
Well, Rudy had the laptop, and he didn't release it. A lot of Republicans had it. They didn't release it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for letting me call in.
All right, hold on.
One other thing. This may be a big issue because Biden pulled all the air, is trying to pull air marshals and put them on the southern border, and there's havoc within the air marshals are adamantly going against President Biden. because it'll leave basically the commercial air flights unprotected.
What genius came up with that strategy?
Well, the only thing I can think of after listening to both you and Holger is that maybe President Biden is looking for another distraction. And if he pulls the air marshals off of flight, the likelihood that there's going to be some type of distraction goes up. And that would take all this off the bridge.
That was my way of saying yes. Yes, I agree. 100%, Al. Because this regime is made up of distractions. It's one distraction after another. You know, for 12 months, we all know, for 13 months, we know, Joe Biden never addressed the escalation in gas prices, going from $1.89 to $4 a gallon. When it hit $4 and then Putin invades Ukraine, the distraction suddenly became, this is Putin's inflation, this is Putin's gas war. And now today, okay, you've got Dopey Joe putting out a tweet stating that, you know, gas is down to the lowest level in 12 months and it's still high thanks to Putin's war with Ukraine. And that's absolute utter horseshit. But what does it do? It's a distraction. And this fraudulent regime is finding so many ways to distract away from really key stories. And it's another issue why the alphabet media, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, NPR, never even addressed the Twitter file dump. You're absolutely right. They're looking for a way to avoid talking about the story. And then as Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, had the audacity to gaslight by referring to the Twitter file dump as distraction and old news. So they mm-hmm. will ignore this story. They will ignore it. They will ignore it. And they will ignore it. And the DNC will get their state-run media to ignore it. And now, like you said, this distraction of air marshals now being sent to the border. Excuse me. So for the last 22 months, Joe Biden has done nothing. Not even the border czar that he appointed has done anything to address the invasion that we have at the southern border. And suddenly, today, of all days, they're announcing that air marshals are going to the border. I mean, are illegal aliens now flying into the United States?
I don't know, but there's breaking news for another distraction. Fans of the iconic Disney theme park ride Splash Mountain have little over a month to take one last ride because Disney will close Splash Mountain permanently on January 23rd because the company says it promotes racial stereotypes. The ride, which opened in 1989, is based on the 1946 Disney film Song of the South. The film has fallen out of favor in recent years because critics say it offers a racially insensitive depiction of Reconstruction in the American South just after the end of the Civil War. And we're talking about free speech. We're talking about the loss of our First Amendment. This is a prime example of that, and that even includes the CEO, Bob Iger, who they're bringing in to get Disney back on track. And he said that at a shareholders meeting in March of 2020, when the ride closure was first announced, he says, for years, activists attempted to cancel Song of the South permanently. The change.org gathered over 21,000 signatures denouncing the film. But he said that this is a ride whose time has passed.
How stupid. I mean, so I guess they should be closing It's a Small World, too, because that's also a reflection of midgets, right? So let's talk about, you know, replace. And then I read about Disney and replacing the Indiana Jones franchise with a woman.
No.
Did you read that one, too?
No, yeah. I didn't.
Yeah. On
a
Twitter,
woman of
Jack.
Color or
Good question. replaced by a Mary Sue.
Woman.
Yeah, the character's going to be replaced by a Mary Sue, but no one has ever heard of or does not. Yeah. Let's see, how does Kathleen Kennedy do it? I mean, really, Kathleen Kennedy continues to ruin Disney franchises. Unbelievable.
Maybe Mary Sue is a man who dresses as a woman, like Admiral Levine.
That's it. It's so Indiana Jones is a cross-dressing male.
Beam me up, Scotty.
So Splash Mountain is going to be history. And I, you know what? I've been on Splash Mountain before. Never once have I thought about it being part of Song of the South. I don't know why, but I thought it was a fun ride. So this is the stupidest. And again, Disney proves to be dumb. God, oh, Jesus. So Wednesday, I'm going to be doing the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show at 5:30. I'll be in for Hank. We'll be discussing politics and sports. And Hank's posse is going to be on talking about college football and the Final Four and the last week's games. And, of course, next Saturday is the Army-Navy game. I love that game. Paul Sutliff with the Civilization – I'm sorry, the Cancer – Paul Sutliff is the author of The Cancer of Civilization, Jihad. The Sutliff Report is on Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Friday is Andrew Harrod with Islam – I'm sorry, Conservative Casual Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. He was actually on at 2:30 last week, and I was listening to his show last Friday. It was really good. He had some telephone issues, I think, and he kind of lost his connection. Saturday, Minister Simon Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And Sunday, Paul is heading up Sunday's interfaith dialogue at 5 p.m. or 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And Monday, Al and I will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And hopefully there'll be another Twitter dump of files, which should be really, really interesting. Please keep G-Ski in your prayers of Airwaves America. Annie is taking a break at Southern Sense Talk Radio. She'll be back after January 1st, 2023. So Happy New Year, Annie, and hope you're doing well. Wednesday, if you want a break from politics and Islam, check out the Simone Nicole Show, a great self-help show. Go to Spreaker.com for the Simone Nicole Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Thursday, Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com. She has got a great show. Mr. P has got a great opening monologue. Love that guy's monologue, man. So Al and I will be back next Monday evening. I want to thank Sue from New Mexico, Bigfoot, our big patriot, Ducky Northwest, Ron H. Golf Dogs, HOV Radio, and I want to thank you all in the podcast and listening in for joining us today. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week. Same place, same time, same bat channel.
You all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings, and have a great evening. Have a great week, and thank you for joining us. Ciao, everybody.
If not himself, then he has not the thing he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows.
That's all, folks.
Hey, there we go. Oh, my God, that Disney store in Splash Mountain is unbelievable, man. Oh, Jesus.
We're losing. So
oh, my
big God.
God.
It's not even funny anymore.
No, it's not. It's sad and it's pathetic is what it is.
I don't know how to get it back. I feel like everything's slipping right through my fingers. And, I mean, everything that you read, this thing with – mean, even this one, this thing from KJP that you quoted on, that you commented on, where KJP said, we can require businesses to service people regardless of their backgrounds, even when that means businesses must incidentally engage in speech with which they disagree. And you replied back, it's what fascists do, and the Biden-Harris regime are fascists and Marxists. They have zero respect for the U.S. Constitution. So true.
You saw that? Oh.
I'm looking at it right now. I'm going, damn, that Vito Esposito is one smart character.
Oh, there's no filter for these people. They continue to absolutely, we said distract, but lie to the American people.
Yeah.
And how dare a government official, okay, take it upon themselves to report that they will tell you business what to think, what to feel, how you will do business. That is not the job of the federal government. I mean, where is the outrage over that statement by Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, who's actually reporting what the administration intends to do? That's authoritarian, isn't it?
Yeah, it's anti-constitutional. It should be illegal. I mean, I don't know what law to cite for this type of behavior from the government putting First Amendment edicts on private business, private and public for that matter. Where's SCOTUS? Where's the Supreme Court?
Well, the Supreme Court can't say anything until it's brought before them. I understand that because they're not going to get into the political foray.
Right.
That's not their job.
That's true. You're right. But the ACLU should be all over this. American
yes.
Civil Liberties Union. That's right up there. That's their mission statement, or used to be.
Yeah,
where are the Republicans, for Christ's sake?
Yeah. Yeah, where's the Republicans? I mean, this is unbelievable what we're seeing today and how bold and brazen they are. They report this as absolute. You know, Jean-Pierre talks about this as just absolute. And you can't say anything.
I just want somebody with his laptop and everything on it, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, release it. Just release it. Get it all out there. Now, some people that have it said, well, we can't release it because there's underage girls in the videos and we can't exploit them. So they're spending a lot of time. They said we can't release it because you have to black out their faces or pixelate them and there's just too much to do. And they can't do it all because they don't have a budget, so they're not releasing anything. I say release it all and release it. And Hunter Biden should have to pay the price for whatever is on his laptop that is out there in public that might be illegal. But instead, he's getting a pass for both the Republicans and the Democrats. And maybe there is more. This is just another asterisk because Holder says over and over that it's one government. And I kind of push back a little bit because I'm not quite there, but this is definitely a check mark for one government when you have the Republicans and the Democrats acting in sync to avoid putting this laptop out for public information. Also when it includes corruption at the highest levels of government.
Let me ask you a question, you know, and this may be really basic, but you know, I'd like your honest answer on this. I find it really troubling that these right-wing individuals, organizations that have a copy of this laptop sit there and say that, well, they can't do it because of child pornography. And you know what? I understand that I respect that part of it. But what does that say to what's on that laptop? If that's the case, how come Hunter Biden's not in jail? They make the media makes such a big deal that a Disney employee is or a priest is arrested for child pornography. And you're telling us right now in your possession is a laptop with a hard drive that has child pornography from the President of the United States' son. We don't want to release this. Well, excuse me. Why isn't this guy in jail? What are we missing here, Al?
I don't know. Probably the same thing Sam Fried, the FTX founder, that had just a multi-billion dollar Ponzi scheme with the FTX cryptocurrency.
Oh.
Why isn't he in jail?
Oh man.
About putting Bernie Madoff to shame. The level of his Ponzi scheme dwarfed Bernie Madoff. Madoff was like a piker. And the interviews he's done, if you're watching him, have been even worse in condemning because he admits to fraud. He put a house, a multi-million dollar house, in his parents' name. But he's being left alone because he's given millions, literally millions of dollars to the Republican Party and some Democrats.
He's given hundreds of millions of dollars to the – he was the second largest donor to the Democrat Party, the second largest behind George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
And so you answered your question then. Why is he being left on – why is he still walking around? Because, again, it shows how corrupt the Democrat Party truly is. I mean, that's not even disinformation. It's a fact that they defrauded their investors.
Yeah, where are the victims? I haven't seen any victims come forward. And no politician has said, well, I have to give this money back because it's been tainted. They're like, hell no, we got the cash. We're not giving anything back. Republican
exactly.
And Democrat alike.
And okay, so now let's go ahead and let's indict the Republicans in this Ponzi scheme. All right,
mm-hmm.
Now that the Republicans make up 1% of the campaign donations, the Democrat Party makes up 99% of it. Okay, so now let's start exploiting the Democrat Party. Okay, they're engaged in a fraudulent Ponzi scheme. They participated in the fact that they took these donations. Why aren't they giving it back? And we're not talking about just $10,000. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that this guy fraudulently invested in buying Democrat Party members. And he's still walking this earth. There's nothing, like you said, Bernie Madoff was made out to be an evil man, defrauding people, including, who was it? There was, what was that name? Bacon, Kevin Bacon and his wife. Okay,
yep.
Lost just about everything. Now, how many
grandma
people lost?
Grandpa.
Yeah, grandma and grandpa. What about the people? What about the Fireman's Fund that now lost $40 million thanks to this kid scamming people? Huh? What? Because he was a majority donor to the Democrat Party, he's off limits? Why? Because then could it possibly open up Pandora's box, just like the Hunter Biden laptop, and start implicating all of the players in there, the majority of which are Democrats? It'll implicate Nancy Pelosi and the Hunter Biden Burisma. It'll implicate Chris Hines and the John Kerry family. It'll implicate the Romney family as well, who were investors in – or were – sorry, not investors, but they were tied into Burisma and Ukraine Energy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Talk about protecting your own, huh?
It's so bad, and it's just so much volume of the, so much content. So it's too voluminous, especially when you have the DOJ and the FBI and our government agencies who are tasked with going after this illegal activity are not.
Right. They're not.
Instead of going after President Trump, raiding his house, whatever became of that. What's with the documents?
Nothing, right?
Yeah. Who leaked the SCOTUS papers before the abortion decision came out? We still don't know who leaked it.
No.
First time in the history of the United States that a SCOTUS brief has been leaked.
And we don't know. Yeah. And we don't know who it was.
Well, they're not, I'm sure they know. It's a very limited pool of people with access. They know who did it, but they're protecting them. And the law enforcement's protecting them. And they're going after people like us, conservatives, with reckless abandon.
They really are, man.
January 6th people are still sitting in prison. Some of them, you know, trespassing, I don't know, damaged a federal building, and they're looking at 20 years, some of these people. And it's the worst insurrection in the history of insurrections. There wasn't even one gun. Crying out loud.
And do you know what's really sad about that part of it, with people still sitting in jail now 2 years later? That their Sixth Amendment rights have been violated by the U.S. government, and yet there's no outcry? Right?
Yeah. They're keeping them in solitary, and they're, you hear it all, there's all kinds of stories out there. Who knows what's true, but the fact is they're still in jail 2 years later.
Yeah, they're still in jail, and their constitutional rights have been violated. And you know, no one's talking about that, and I find that extremely, extremely troubling that this particular administration has absolutely engaged in the actions of denying people their constitutional rights, and they have the audacity to talk about the U.S. Constitution and democracy, okay? And they are denying people's First Amendment. They're denying people's Sixth Amendment rights to a speedy trial. And you know what? And it's like, don't even talk about it. Just ignore it. Just ignore it, okay? And we'll go after, you know, eroding the rest of the Bill of Rights so that the American people have zero bills of rights left. And then we can go ahead and change our form of government.
What we've lost, we're not going to get back. I don't know how you get it back once it's been taken.
Nope. Well, I'll tell you one other thing. I've got an opinion, too, on and we didn't get to it, and I'm sorry I was long-winded. I hope I didn't bore, you know, too much. I just thought it was – I didn't hear anything over the weekend. Okay, so Donald Trump, you heard Trump put out a statement – with regards to the Twitter dump, right? Did you read his statement?
No, I did not.
Okay. So Trump put out on Truth Social, so with the revelation of massive and widespread fraud and deception in working closely with big tech companies, the DNC and the Democrat Party, do you throw the presidential election results of 2020 out and declare the rightful winner, or do you have a new election? A massive fraud of this type and magnitude allow for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution. Our great founders did not want and would not condone false and fraudulent elections. Okay. Now, I don't know what your first impression of that is, but let me say this before you comment. I don't believe that President Trump was referring to terminating the U.S. Constitution. What I do believe President Trump was referring to was the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it. And what I believe he was talking about is the Biden-Harris regime. Since there's fraud and there's widespread fraud, and now the revelations of the censorship involved, look, I think the 2020 elections are over now. We're done. Okay. I don't think you can now with the 2024 elections upcoming, but given the fact of how the Biden campaign and the Democrat National Committee engaged in suppressing information, does the Declaration of Independence then come into play with the altering or abolish because of how out of control and destructive this form of government has become?
Well, all right. Trump said, quote, "The fraud, the massive fraud during the 2020 elections allows for the termination of all rules, regulations, and articles, even those found in the Constitution," close quote. It was so outrageous that even John Bolton said that he may put his hat in the ring for the 2024 election based on this comment by President Trump. Well, Monday, today, Trump attempted to clarify his statement in another social media post. He said, quote, "The fake news is actually trying to convince the American people that I said I wanted to terminate the Constitution. This is simply more disinformation and lies, just like Russia, 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 and all of their other hoaxes and scams. What I said was that when there is a massive and widespread fraud and deception, as has been irrefutably proven in the 2020 presidential election, steps must be immediately taken to right the wrong. Only fools would disagree with that and accept stolen elections, MAGA." So he kind of said what I just said a minute ago. It's so bad, there's no way of getting it back. He said there is a way of getting it back. He's got to fight by a different set of rules. But he never said anything about dismantling the Constitution.
No, he didn't.
Not in a million years. And he's right. It was disinformation and lies. My wife even today said, "Oh, did you hear about President Trump wanting to get rid of the Constitution?" I said, "No, I haven't heard that." But I don't believe it, but I haven't heard it. If anybody loves the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, it's President Trump. Just look what he's done.
But this is how powerful the Democrat Party is. They took that. The media, yeah, and the Democrat Party, because now we know that the Democrat Party is involved in Twitter, was involved in Twitter, and in setting the narrative. And again, they want to define the narrative. And in this one, they want to define Trump about terminating the Constitution. Even Lisa Murkowski tweeted out about, "Oh, well, we should not condone the scrapping the Constitution or banning the Constitution." I can't remember the word she used. And it's like, once again, terminating the Constitution. Once again, you have rhino Republicans stepping up with the misinformation, the never Trumpers. Mm-hmm. Okay. She never mentioned Trump's name, but she absolutely said the same thing that the left wing, the Democrat Party put out there.
Saul Alinsky's brilliant. Put him on the defensive with some outrageous comment and make them defend themselves. Make them defend the lie that you said about them.
Yep.
It's brilliant.
Exactly.
And you can do that when you have the media on your side.
They'll be on their side.
Echo chamber. Yeah.
Yep.
And they should be worried about printing not fake news, but false information. There used to be a time when journalism was a respected field and that newspapers and media wouldn't print anything unless they had it verified from three independent sources. But it's not that way anymore at all. It's just it's the opposite.
Yeah, man. Does this protect the Democrats or the Republicans? It looks like it's a Republican story. Let's not report it. Oh, let's go ahead and report something else about it. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what's happening.
It's just getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
I'm a bit overwhelmed, and you're reading about those tweets. There should be lawsuits flying everywhere. I get numb because I see nothing happening. It's like Bob Barr. the do-nothing attorney general. that other a-hole with the mustache. What the hell was his name?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, what's his name?
Durham. Yeah, he slow-rolled. He was supposed to be the godsend. He'd take these people to court, and he slow-rolled President Trump like a master. Slow-rolled the American people even more, and he slow-rolled me and betrayed me because I put my faith in him. Stupid me. How naive I am.
Well, you know what? But you see, that's the whole point right now with the and especially Holger was talking about. You know, it seems like that they're all part of the same system now, and you know, some of them go out there and they give us that false hope, and for the most part, they're all doing the same thing, and that's mm-hmm. really sad. And it's almost like you can't trust the one, and you know, that's what Trump's issue was going in. He trusted people, but they didn't have his back. And I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that Victor Davis Hanson piece.
I did.
Wasn't that the ending brilliant? I mean, I thought he summed up I thought the last 5 or 10 minutes, it was the most interesting. And Victor Hanson summed up about Trump being an outsider. And he made things look too easy. And I've always believed that. What, you know, why was Trump really the bad guy? Because he made things look easy. He made things happen. He didn't stand for the stuff that you can't do it. And it just didn't go by the narrative of the slow-walking, you know, establishment. I don't know. What'd you take from it?
About the same. He's an outsider. They have to destroy him. A reformer. He's not a politician. He's a businessman. He's a developer. He knows how to get things done.
He knows how to get things done. Oh, man, that is so true. He knows how to get things done.
Yeah. A great example is when we moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He was given by Congress, and he told the story, $2 billion. He had an open checkbook of $2 billion to build this building in Jerusalem for our consulate.
Okay.
But we already had a building in inventory that was already there. The Israelis said, well, we can put a whole new stone facade on it and redo it for $350,000. Trump said, $350,000, you better make it $500,000 because there's no way you can do something so cheap. So for $500,000, he took the embassy and made it a functioning masterpiece.
From $3 million? Oh, three,
Five,
what was it?
From $2 billion. He was given a check for $2 billion from Congress. He was told,
no.
I got earmarked $2 billion to build this building for our when we moved the embassy to Jerusalem, for the new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. Trump did it for $500,000. He was appalled. He said, it doesn't cost $2 billion to make any building, and he ended up doing it for $500,000. I never heard that story before, ever.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So if you were not an honest person and someone hands you a check for $2 billion and you're the president, you could hide so much money and put it into account. You could do so much chicanery. It would make your head spin. And that never even made the news.
You see, he made things look easy. He looked at things in a different way. He made things look easy, which is contrary to what the establishment wants. They want people to – this is really tough. They want mm-hmm. – they want – these politicians want you and I to think, hey, this is really tough. What are you talking about? Come on, Al. This is very, very difficult. This is a very complex situation. Oh, okay. So you give him $2 billion, he gets it done for $500,000, and – This guy's the bad guy.
Yeah. One more thing. You know, another story that makes this even more real. Remember when actor Alec Baldwin shot, he had a hot gun and he shot one of the producers or some woman on the set and fatally shot her on the set while they were filming?
Yep.
You know what happened with that story? Any idea? It just kind of disappeared, didn't it?
Yeah, there was a – I did hear about the what do you call it? There was a – I heard what happened as far as the investigation, but go ahead.
Alec Baldwin and the husband of the woman he fatally shot on the set of the Western film Rust last year announced an agreement. That fucker, Alec Baldwin, paid off the husband of the woman he killed, and the thing went away. He got himself undone. More people were killed on the set of Rust, Alec Baldwin's movie, than during the January 6th protest.
Yeah, and I think it was a civil suit that was settled on that one.
Whatever. Someone kills my wife while they're making a movie at work. There's no settlement. You're going to jail. Even if it's an accident, you're going to do some jail time one way or the other.
And yeah, there's nothing, man.
When you're the producer of that movie, buck stops with you, baby. Would you settle even for some ungodly amount of money?
No, because it's not about the money. It's the fact that my wife was killed.
Yeah. No, if I didn't like my wife, that's a whole other story. But
I don't like my wife.
Honey,
I love my wife.
Hey, honey, I hear there's an opening in the Rust set.
Hey, contact line. Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. Hey, here's his car. God, Rodney Dangerfield could have a time with that one.
Oh, you're not kidding. Yeah, things aren't making sense anymore. They really aren't.
Is it just me, or are you, like, I don't know, you put all these dots together and it's blurring and overwhelming?
You know, I'm just, for me, it's like, I'm really worried about our future. I'm really worried about that we've reached a point where we may not be able to change the outcome anymore. And it's all by design. And it's like, how do you resolve this? You know, how can we sit there and be effective? And at what point does it become an issue where people would say enough is enough? And, you know, I believe that Joe Biden is a Marxist? I do. He's given every indication he is. Do I believe that he's an authoritarian? Absolutely. You know, this thing with the student loan is a small, perfect example. You've got this guy going around saying it's not fair that people don't, these students don't pay, that they have to pay their loans while the courts are adjudicating this. Oh. So it's fair then for the American taxpayer to fork over $500 billion to pay these kids student loans where going to college is optional, and yet you don't hold the colleges and universities accountable for gouging students? Because that's basically what you're saying, is that these kids were gouged for college tuition. You don't show any outrage and express any outrage. Why is Elizabeth Warren double dipping on the American people. One, she's taking $250,000 from Harvard, but yet she's earning, well, she's being paid $174,000 from the American taxpayer, $175,000 for being in the United States Senate. And you're expressing zero outrage over this, over a member of the United States Senate double dipping. Well, she's a Democrat, Vito. That's the reason why. But that's irrelevant. And yet Biden has the audacity to say it's not fair that these students must pay back their student loans. Fuck you, it's not fair. It's not fair that the American taxpayer has to pay off these people's student loans. They didn't have to go to college. They could have went and into the workforce and started working. Gone to a trade school, done something else. They didn't have to go to college. And then what about the colleges and universities charging $80,000 a year to get a degree in fundamental science of the East, you know, Ethiopian primates? Oh. Okay. What did we miss here, Al?
No, you figure it out. You let me know.
I will. And that's what, so in other words, I'm thinking that, you know, this whole thing, this guy, Biden was put in place in order to do this disruption. He just continued to do things. He doesn't, you know what? He's got no conscience. He's got no morals and he's got no ethics. And therefore he's the perfect chimpanzee to go in there, do the unilateral edict and bypass the United States Congress. So that's unconstitutional, okay, and with these student loans. He absolutely ignores the fact that inflation has skyrocketed because of his selling out the United States of America to the green scam, the climate scam cause, getting America off of energy independence. And then at the same time, he and Nancy Pelosi are sending taxpayer money by the billions to Ukraine. And on the other side of the coin, he's buying 670,000 barrels of oil, okay, from Russia because he took America off of energy independence. And he's driving the price of transportation and goods. It's been driven through the roof. And it's just one calamity after another. And the border, you have touched on the border so well. I mean, the border in itself, it should be a scandal. And now you touched on another thing where air marshals now are being sent to the border. Why? Biggest misuse of taxpayer, you know, workforce that we've ever seen. Send the fucking National Guard down there.
They do something. Crazy.
All right. Well, have a good evening. Sorry
you too.
Hope it didn't depress you for tonight.
No, it's all good news. I mean, not good news, but I'll tell you, having Elon Musk exposing Twitter.
Yeah, man.
I'll tell you, that's some good stuff. We've been vindicated. Thank you, Elon Musk.
And it doesn't mean that he's got an allegiance to any party. It's just like, I think Holger nailed it. This guy doesn't want to have, you know, the United States government coming in. And if a Republican gets elected, whether it's Trump or another Republican, they say, okay, we want to see your books. And all of a sudden, hey, I was not with Twitter at that time. Yeah, but you knew about it and you did nothing. So he's doing something.
Yeah.
So
the Viking nails it again.
That's an interesting take on his part, and it does make a lot of sense, doesn't it?
It does.
All right, man. Have a good evening.
All right, you too.
I plan
have a great
on it.
Week.
I'm hoping to.
Hit him good,
hopefully,
and not too often.
Hopefully, my new driver comes in tomorrow.
Oh yeah, what are you getting?
I got the PXG.
Oh, you did?
I did.
The one that's on sale, the $299.
I did.
I saw the advertisements for it.
I actually got the 211. Mm-hmm. Get this action, $199.
Damn.
Uh-huh. The last day it was being offered. I just walked in there, and I was going to go for the 311. Mm-hmm. And he says, we got this. We have the 211 today. I think he said today was the last day. I said, I want it. Want to try it? I said, I already have, which I had. A friend of mine's got it. He says, okay.
Awesome. Have you hit the stealth?
I've not. I'm afraid to.
I'm intrigued by that because it's new. It's new material. It's not even titanium. It's some kind of, I don't know, carbon fiber face.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes, you're right. It's carbon fiber, and it's supposed to be even even more durable than the titanium.
Yeah. Are any of the pros using it or not yet?
Yes, they are. Matter of fact, Tiger's using it. His son uses it.
Really?
Yeah. But
$5.99.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Yeah. That did it for me real easy. It's really that made the choice really easy. $599.
Yeah. And $199 for the PXG. Jeez. You got a great deal.
I did, and I, you know what, my driver is really it's cracking even more, so I'm not getting any distance. I'm not getting much distance on it. So, but I didn't know what I was gonna do. I put another driver in a bag. I didn't like that one, and an old driver. And then this came up. It's like, oh,
yeah, these Callaways, they break. I've never seen so many crack.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. With our TR, his crack twice.
Yeah, I think he's on his third driver now.
Yeah, and yours cracked, and a couple other people I know theirs have cracked. The Callaway, to their credit, they're good about replacing them, but it's still, it's an ordeal to have to replace a club like that.
It would have cost me $315 plus. So all total would have cost me $354 to replace the driver,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, compared to $599. But then when this came up, I couldn't resist. I just,
I didn't know that Tiger and Charlie and one of the pros are playing the stealth. That's interesting.
Yeah, they're playing it. Somebody, I think Rory's playing it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Rory, what a douche.
God, just I know, but I can't stop watching him. Fucking guy can hit the ball. God.
He's a talent. There's no question about it. He is
I know. It's just like, wow. I just watch it. I mean, and you know, it's nice that he's not been winning, but it's like, oh my God, how the fuck does he do that? Oh.
Figured
all right.
Out. Even if I figured it out, I couldn't do it. There is no figuring it out. You have to be like a rubber band.
I know. We're too old to be rubber bands.
and then to be able to swing as hard as you can and still have control.
Yes. Right. Yep. You are so right.
I have to swing slow you have a quick swing speed. TR has got a quick swing speed, but I got to swing slow just to have control. We're all different. So.
I know. All right, man. Have a nice evening.
All right, you too. Adios.
And I'll talk to you later. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.